Please turn to 1 Peter 1, which is on page 1217. If you don't, just raise your paw or something else in the hand in the air, and someone will run and come and find you with a Bible. Fantastic.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you, not least because you have heating and we don't as a church. So if it's okay with you, I'm just going to preach here for the next 4 weeks. But no, it's really good to be back together. If this is your first Sunday here, or you haven't been for a little while, just worth just a word of explanation before we read of what we're doing together on these Sunday mornings. So the story of the Bible is really a story of salvation. It's a big rescue story that revolves around the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's rescue for humanity. And to help us to understand the fullness of that salvation, that rescue story, the Bible paints for us lots of word pictures, lots of images to help us understand what it is that Jesus has done for us. And we are working our way through those. We're out of order slightly on the poster here, but we're working our way through what we're calling the seven sides of salvation. That is the diamond of salvation, which is one thing, but you can turn it and look at it from different angles. And so far we've seen it's forgiveness. That's what salvation is. It means the releasing of that debt that we have before God. We've seen things like, we've done justification. We've done that one. I'm slightly out of kilter. What else have we done? Regeneration. Which one, sorry? Oh, have we done reconciliation? That's good. We're further ahead than I thought we were. And today we come to the subject of redemption. And we're going to dive into 1 Peter chapter 17. I thought it's not chapter 17. That's ridiculous. It doesn't have 17 chapters. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. And we're going to just pick up this theme. So let me read that to us. Peter writes to the church, "Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so, your faith and hope are in God." Let me pray, and then we'll think about this together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for this book, which has become so familiar to many of us. But we thank you that in this book you hold up to us and you hold out for us your great salvation through Jesus. Please help our hearts to receive your teaching today, to trust in what you say, and may it cause our faith and our hope to be all the more firmly in Jesus, our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Anyone recognize that picture? Probably dates you a little bit if you are. So that is the picture from one of my favorite movies growing up. It's a film. Does anyone know what film it is? The Shawshank Redemption, yeah. It's one of my favorite movies growing up. It was released in the mid-90s, so that kind of pitches where I am age-wise. But it's one of the most iconic moments in this film, The Shawshank Redemption. It is the moment of redemption. It is the moment of freedom. It's the moment of liberation. As the main character, Andy, finds himself finally released, finally set free from his time in Shawshank Prison. It's the moment when, if you're watching the film, you breathe a sigh of relief. It's that moment where you feel just a glimpse of joy and delight. Now, why do I want to plant that image in your head this morning as we look at this idea of redemption? Well, I want to put that image in your head because captured in that moment, it is just a mini picture of what it means to become a Christian, to become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, the joy that he feels, the delight that he feels, the freedom that he enjoys in that moment. It's just a little taste of what it means to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when somebody puts their faith in Jesus, that person experiences a liberation moment, a freedom, a redemption that happens through Jesus Christ. See, we use the word redemption. We've sung it lots of times this morning. I don't know if you noticed. You picked your songs very well and very deliberately. Oh Lord, my rock and my redeemer. What's behind that? Redemption. We sing of this word all the time, but do we really understand what it means? What are we singing about? What are we celebrating? We're celebrating this idea of a release from captivity, of being set free. And redemption is just one of the many pictures that we're looking at of the way that God describes his salvation for us. Redemption. So much so that if you read through the Old Testament, God's people have always had the nickname almost of the redeemed. That's who we are, the redeemed of God. You see that? This theme comes up. This is why we've picked this reading this morning. The theme comes up, middle of verse 18. It comes as Peter addresses followers of Jesus as those, verse 18, who were redeemed, set free. Now, in order for us to understand redemption, you need to understand, particularly from a Bible perspective, that there are three ingredients, as it were. Let's think of a recipe. There are three ingredients that make up redemption, three important pieces, and here they are. Sorry, we're going to do that. The first one is a liberation, a setting free. Okay, that's the obvious one. We've talked about that one. But there are two other ingredients to Bible redemption that we need to understand. The second ingredient is this, that it comes at a cost. So there's a freedom, but it comes with a payment, a sense of it costing something to happen. The word redemption, as it's translated for us into the English language, comes from a root word that was often used in the marketplace. So that you would redeem a slave, for example. You would pay money for that slave's freedom. Now, I know we don't have slaves in our marketplace today, but you've got to remember the culture in which they operated. And so that was the language. You would redeem something. You know, we talk about redeeming a coupon, perhaps, from a supermarket. It's not really that kind of picture. Or we might talk about, you know, if you redeem something, you go to one of those shops like cash converters or something, and you know, you put something in, and then you can redeem it. You can buy it back with a cost. Do you see the picture? So redemption, as the Bible describes it, is a setting free, ingredient number one, with a cost attached to it, number two. The third ingredient is a redeemer. Someone who does it. Someone has to do the redeeming. Does that make sense? So these three ingredients make up what we call redemption. Redemption, a setting free at a cost by somebody, a redeemer. So these are the three ingredients, and this is what God offers to you. He offers you these three things in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want us to do today is look at these three ingredients. I want us to look at this text and understand what it is that we need to hear about redemption this morning. So you with me? You're alive? It is nice and warm in here. You wouldn't be this warm if you're up at Enfield this morning, okay? So we've got to work hard. Number one, first of we all need redemption from what Peter calls an empty way of life. We all need redemption from an empty way of life. Look at verse 18. I'll mark it up on the screen there. It says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life that was handed down to you from your ancestors. Now let's think on this, work at that phrase for a moment, okay? Because one of the things that we celebrate in our culture and in the West is our freedoms. We regularly celebrate our freedom. But actually, the reality is that we're not as free as we think we are. Sure, we enjoy many freedoms to go where we want, do what we want. We have many freedoms and liberties in life. But the Bible tells us that we're actually trapped in what Peter calls an empty way of life. One writer explains Peter's words like this. He says, an empty way of life is a life that has no real direction and leads to no good results. It is essentially a life of entrapment. It's a life that we pursue meaning and purpose and happiness and security and hope really from material things. Isn't that the society we live in? We look for those things, and we look for it in material things, or we look for it in approval from others. It's a life lived without God, and it's a life lived with ourselves in charge. And Peter calls that an empty way of life. It's a life where we're desperately trying to create value and meaning and purpose. We want something that lasts. We want hope. And we are trapped in that way of life. You know, we talk about the rat race, or I don't think people do anymore, but you know, you're of a generation where we talk about the rat race, right? You're just getting on the treadmill and going through this cycle of looking for meaning and value and purpose in what we do and the things that we can have. And that is a way of life, we're told, is actually passed down to us. It's a way of life that actually we then almost unknowingly pass on to the next generation. It's a way of life that's embedded in our culture. And again, the same writer I quoted earlier, he says this. He says, it is a life that has no escape from the futile and sinful behavior that will actually end in condemnation. That's why it's an empty way of life. It goes nowhere. It goes to condemnation. See, look at verse 17. What does it call God the Father? Have a look at verse 17. A judge. And someone who will judge equally and fairly. And that's why living life without him, living life chasing meaning and purpose without him, is an empty way of life. See, I wonder this morning, just as we sit here and we hear that, do you feel something of the empty way of life that basically this world is living? Do you feel the futility of gaining stuff? You know, this is a time of year when people go mad on buying things, isn't it? But do you know, you can identify, can't you, with that empty feeling of really looking forward to getting something, and then it's just, you want the next thing, like the next morning. You know, it just comes home to me every Christmas with my kids, is that they get something they really love on Christmas Day, and then on Boxing Day they're talking about how they might spend their money to buy the next thing. Why? Because it's an empty way of life. It doesn't fill you up. The Bible actually has many pictures for talking about the way that we are enslaved, entrapped. So it uses things like we're slaves to sin. We're slaves to, you know, captive by the devil. It talks about us being held in slavery to the fear of death. There's so many captivity images, but the one that Peter lands for here is an empty, futile way of life. And God wants us to know that we all need redemption. All of us are born into that kind of slavery. And we need redemption. We need setting free from this life that's going nowhere. And wonderfully, that's the freedom that he offers us. You see, do you remember the second and third ingredients? It's not just that we need setting free. We need someone to pay the cost, and we need someone to do it. And so here's the wonderful thing about our salvation that we see here, is that Jesus alone can pay the ransom with his life. How do we get out of this empty cycle that we're stuck in and our world is stuck in and we're kind of constantly living in? Well, it takes a redeemer to pay a price. And so look again at these words that we've got in front of us, because it draws a contrast. I want you to see this contrast. Verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver and gold, that you were redeemed from your empty way of life. You see, here's the contrast. We are not set free with silver and gold. Silver and gold are the very things that our world is trying to use to break out of this cycle. Think about it for a moment. Silver and gold, money. Let's call that money or your possessions. They're the dream maker, are they? No one wants money for the sake of money. You know, no one gets a £5 note and goes, "Oh, that's pretty, I'm going to keep that." You want a £5 note because you can buy something with £5. You can make your dreams with £5, can't you? Well, maybe not your dreams, but you know what I mean. You see, you want money because money's the dream maker. Money makes things come true. And so people grab hold of this and say, this is the thing that's going to get me liberty from this cycle, this emptiness. Silver and gold help us make medical advances in the world, don't they? So they give us sort of long life. They prolong life. Silver and gold give us a bit of security, a bit of peace. If something breaks, you're not thinking, "Oh, wow, how am I going to fix that?" You see how we use silver and gold? Our world uses silver and gold to think, this is the thing that's going to set me free in life. But Peter says, no, it is not with silver and gold. It is not with the things of the world that you will gain your freedoms from this empty way of life. No, look at verse 19. It is with the precious blood of Christ. See, what is it? What is the price that can set us free from this empty way of life that is going nowhere? It's Jesus. Jesus paid the price with his life. His life for our life. The precious blood of Jesus is a reference to what he did on the cross as he shed his blood to set people free for our redemption. You see, how can his death win our freedom? How can that event, 2,000 years ago, a man all those years ago doing something back then, affect people like us today? How can it break people like us out of this empty way of life cycle? Well, because look how Jesus goes on to be described in verse 19. He is described there as a lamb without blemish or defect. Now, again, this is familiar language to many of us, but that might just seem like a bit of an odd description. Why would you call Jesus a lamb? This picture of a lamb helps us and draws us into the many redemption stories there are in the Bible. And it helps us to see that as they go through the Bible, lambs always play a crucial part in people getting set free. The most famous of those stories is the story of Exodus, the story of Moses. And God said he would come in judgment on Egypt because they were holding his people captive. And God says, look, slaughter a lamb, put its blood on the doorframe, and as I pass over Egypt, you will be safe, you will be set free. You see how the lamb played a crucial role in redemption? Or think about what happens to that people. They get redeemed. They get rescued from Egypt out of their captivity. And then God sets them up with a system where day in, day out, they would sacrifice a lamb. The lamb who would forgive them. The lamb's life for their life. And that is exactly what Jesus can be for us. The lamb without blemish or defects. The lamb free from sin. The lamb who never lived an empty way of life. The lamb, the redeemer, who paid the price for our freedom. See, Jesus says these words. He says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Do you see how it works? We are enslaved, entrapped to this empty way of life that leads to judgment. But Jesus comes as the Redeemer, the Lamb, who pays the price with his life so that we might be free. Is Jesus your Redeemer this morning? Many of us will be sitting here saying, yes, he is. But now we might begin to see more clearly, well, what is it he's accomplished? His life for your life. He died so that you could go free. You see, we all need redemption. We all need setting free. And Jesus has paid the price. And we need to look to him for that redemption. So, number one, we all need redemption. We all need setting free from an empty way of life. Number two, Jesus is the one who paid that price for our freedom with his life. But here's the third thing I want us to think about. What is it that we're set free to? See, look at this. We can be set free to a life of faith and hope. Let me just take you back to the movie. Many of you have not seen the movie, I'm sure, but in the movie, it's a bit of an anti-climax because Andy, the main character, when he gets his freedom, there's only one thing he wanted to do, and that was go to the Pacific Ocean. That was it. So all this film builds up, but he wants his freedom. He wants his release from captivity, and what does he do? He wants to go and sit by the Pacific Ocean. Now, I love the sea, but that's a bit of an anti-climax to the film, isn't it? But what about you? What about me? When Jesus wins us our freedom, when he sets us free from this empty way of life, when he brings us to a living hope, what does he want us to do with that freedom? What is the alternative to an empty way of life? Is it that we just sit back? Well, have a look at verse 21. Look at what Peter tells us. Verse 21, through him you believe in God, that's through Jesus, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and your hope are in God. What kind of life are we called to? It's not the empty chasing of life. We are called to a life of faith and a life of hope. That's what we're set free for. A life of faith is the life of looking to God and trusting him. It's the life of taking him at his word. The life of faith is one where life is flipped around. The empty way of life says, we don't want God in charge. The life of faith is the one where it says, God, we want you in your right place and we want to obey you and follow you. The life of hope is the life of a glorious future. It's the life of an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. See, just come back with me to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth, a fresh start into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Now that doesn't sound like an empty way of life, does it? A living hope as opposed to a dead end. An inheritance as opposed to condemnation. That's what we're set free to have that kind of hope, to have that kind of looking forward. It's a life where we are free from fear of the Father's judgment. And we're free to a life to serve him. We're free to love God and to serve him as we should. See, the right response to redemption is actually found in verse 17. If you look back at verse 17. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time here as foreigners in reverent fear. See, as people who've been redeemed, we have to live in reverent fear of our Redeemer. The one who's worked to set us free, living with God as our Father and living obediently to him. See, the New Testament reminds us that we were brought at a price. God paid a price. The Father paid the price of his Son to set you free. And that comes with responsibility. We're to honor God with our bodies, with all that we are. And friends, this life of faith and hope is the life that God holds out to us. This is our salvation. Liberation from an empty way of life through the precious blood of Jesus. And it's a life of faith and hope. See, for many of us, that is our salvation. I'm not teaching you something new this morning. But that is our salvation. And we are the redeemed of God, set free from an empty way of life to a living hope, a real future that is yours in Christ. And so verse 17, live out your life here in reverent fear of God, conscious of God, every day with God as the one who's redeemed you, set you free. And for maybe some of us here this morning, perhaps it's that actually today could become your redemption day. Let me take you back to Andy for a moment. Here he is, as he stands at the edge of his freedom, rejoicing and celebrating. Today could be your redemption day. Hopefully with a few more clothes on than Andy has here. But today could become your freedom day as you put your trust in Jesus and say, Jesus, I recognize that I'm trapped in an empty way of life and I'm heading for judgment. Jesus, would you redeem me? Would you set me free to a life of faith and hope? Today could be your redemption day. Why don't I pray and ask for God's help just to put some of that in our hearts and our minds this morning. And then let me lead us in a prayer. Our Father in heaven, we want to praise you this morning for the redemption that you can give from the empty way of life that's been handed down to us from generation to generation. Thank you for Jesus, the Lamb without blemish or defect, who gave his life for my life. Father, we thank you that we are set free to a life of living hope and reverent fear. Help us to live as those redeemed by you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.